Blah, 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 blah. That is usually the sound that I hear when I hear folks who have so much to be thankful for go on extended complaining binges, I guess you would call it, go into extended complaining mode. Now, at first, I hear what the person has to say. I really do. And I try to respond in a gracious and appropriate way. But sometimes the complaining becomes extended. And I think that the complaining is unjustified, maybe. So I struggle to remain gracious and kind in my responses. I have the attitude that extended complaining only serves to irritate others. It really doesn't do any good. I could be wrong on that, but of course I'm extendedly complaining right now a little bit, I guess. I wonder, though, if Moses felt that way when the Israelites, recently delivered from slavery in Egypt, just, you know, delivered out of a really awful situation, went into an extended complaining mode. Yes, of course there was food necessary, but couldn't the people have whined a little bit less? When we were in Egypt, at least we had meat to eat and bread to eat. Now we're going to die of starvation. See, this week's Bible reading doesn't paint a rosy picture of the Israelites as they wandered toward the promised land. Even the question that becomes the name of this flaky substance that the Israelites collected has a sound of complaint to it. At least, I think you can hear that. They said, "What is it?" That was in the scripture reading. And do you know what it was? Manna. It's actually the Aramaic translation of "What is it?" Manna. So they looked at it, and they could have said, "Manna." But I think because they were complaining, they looked at it and went, "What is it?" So Moses' response was like that you would give to a picky child who is picking at their dinner and not eating it and going, "What is it?" Moses said, "Eat it. It's good for you." Not exactly, but I think that's what he meant. There's a singer, his name is Keith Green. Actually, he died back in 1982. But he had some fun with this passage of scripture in a song called "So You Wanna Go Back to Egypt." Do you have the CD for "You" in there right now for the offertory? So I'm going to take it out and put it back in. The song helps to get kind of the mood going for this morning's sermon. When you see that Keith Green writes, or the song "So You Want to Go Back to Egypt" talks about these Israelites who were out there wandering and complaining that it was better when they were slaves than it is now. Listen to what this little part is.
So you want to go back to Egypt, where it's warm and secure. Are you sorry about the one way ticket when you thought you were sure? You wanted to live in the land of promise, but now it's getting so hard. Are you sorry you're out here in the desert instead of your own backyard? Eating leeks and onions by the night. Ooh, what breath for dining out in style. In the morning it's manna hot cakes. We snack on manna all day. And they sure had a winner last night for dinner. Flaming manna souffle.
Flaming manna souffle. I don't think that they really had flaming manna souffle out there. But the people complained. And in some ways this passage of scripture kind of acts like a silly melodrama. Where the people are complaining, and there's noises of animals all over the place, and they're wondering, are we going to get anything to eat? The Israelites did eat a lot of manna. This is the first time when they got it. They looked at it and said, "What is it?" Or, "What is it?" So, what is it? Do you know what manna is? Yes? Pardon? Well, some say that
It was a honey-like substance when it was the dew, and it dried up into a flaky substance. But it really does mean, what is it? The question is, though, still, what is it? Manna. What is it? Manna. God, you get the cycle going. What is it? What is it? I don't know. No, you say third base. There. What? He's on second. Who? No, he's on third. Who? Who's on? Okay. Manna. What is it really? Bread from heaven? It's what we would think about, and the scripture says, God says that he would send down bread from heaven. Although the people didn't call it bread from heaven, they called it manna. They called it, what is it? Several people over the life of humanity have made the mistake of thinking that manna means bread from heaven. And actually, in context, often you say, you know, it's like manna from heaven for us. My dad was in a singing group in the 70s. They sang contemporary Christian music. They were kind of trendsetters in that, but in the 70s, you know, a lot of mustaches and long hair and everything, and they sang some pretty cool songs, and they named their singing group Manna, which was kind of cool because they thought it meant bread from heaven. You know, God is providing, and it does. But then they did some research and found out that the band name means, what is it? And they used to have fun with that at concerts. They would say, you know, well, we thought that it meant bread from heaven, but then we did some research and found that it meant, what is it? So we hope that you're not confused tonight. Manna. What is it really? The Bible describes it. It's a flaky substance that was left over when the dew lifted in the morning. And then the question is, what was it made of? Well, to understand that, now we get to go back to Moses. The Bible just kind of like weaves in and out there. Do you remember about Moses' name? Moses' name had two ways of understanding it. One was Moshe, which is the Hebrew word which means drawn out, as in I drew him out of the river. And then there's an Arabic way of understanding it, Moses, which is just the letters M-S-S, which is like Ramses, the son of Ra, and Moses in that way means son of, and could be son of we don't know who, which would almost be a dig at Pharaoh when Pharaoh's daughter says, I don't know who the dad is to this child. Or it could have had something else attached to it. But there's the Arabic way to understand it, which is accurate, and then the Hebrew way. And in Hebrew, so we've got mana is Aramaic, which is a later language, the language Jesus spoke. But the Hebrew is manhu. Go ahead, say manhu. And just translated, that's mana. And manhu means what is it? So they said, what is it? But manhu in Arabic has another meaning. It means this is plant lice. The name for the band just gets worse and worse, doesn't it? This is plant lice. The people that had spent an extended time in Egypt would have known Arabic. They would have known what that meant. And when they looked around and they saw the dew, and then they saw the dust, they very well could have also said, instead of what is it, they could have said, this is plant lice. And here's why. Because there are scale insects that attach themselves to tamarisk trees. They're kind of immobile, and they have these honey-like secretions that drop down, and in the morning they start to dry up and they become sort of flaky. And it could have been that's what the people found. Now, there aren't enough bugs ever to create enough food to have a whole population, a million or whatever, people eat. So if it's bug goo, it was an awful lot of bug goo, and God provided the bug goo. If it's something else, God provided something else. But bug goo kind of works with this is plant lice, and what is it? So now we can think of that picky child again. When the Israelites looked in their complaining mode and they looked down and go, it's plant lice, it's bug goo, what is it? Ew. Eat it. That's what Moses said. But there is a real point to this. Whether it's bug goo or dust or we don't know exactly what it was. We try to find out from what the Bible says and what language says. But God provided nourishment to the Israelites. It kept them sustained on their long journey in the desert. It didn't have to be a long journey, and we find out through scriptures that, you know, they wandered around there because they weren't ready to enter the promised land. But God responded to the complaints of starvation with exactly what the people needed. Now go back another couple weeks, past Moses, or was it before Moses? I don't remember now. Do you remember God's name, what God's name means? I am. I am what I am. I will be what I will be. It has no tense to it. Ehya, Yahweh, Yo, He, Va, He. It has no tense to it. So, I will be what the future requires is a way that works for that. Or in this case, God's name. I am what now requires. You need food. I provide food. I am what I am. I will be what I will be. I am what the future requires. I will be what the future requires. I am what now requires. So we don't have manna, bread from heaven, honey, bug goo sitting around outside nowadays. So as we read the scripture, we can ask, what is manna today? The Israelites learned to trust in God's providence because their needs were met. But everyone here has a full refrigerator. And we have cupboards filled with food. We got all that we need. Do we have full refrigerators and cupboards because we don't trust God enough? There's an earlier part in the scripture that says only gather enough for the day, and then on the Sabbath gather a second one. I'm going to test you on that. Do we have full cupboards and full refrigerators because we don't trust that there will be enough for tomorrow? Do we hold on to our stuff and keep it here because we don't think that God can provide? Do I ever hold back from giving because we don't think there's enough? I think I remember a few weeks ago I said, there is enough. God gives enough. The feeding of the 5,000 showed that there is enough. God does provide. Sometimes we have hardships. I know everyone has hardships. And as we get past them, when we're in them, it's really hard to see because you have hardships. But when we get past them, we can see that God has provided. Trusting in God's providence is part of what we do as followers of God. We also need to be able to reach out to folks who really don't have enough so that all will have enough. Sure, there's people in our community that don't have enough. There's people in our state that don't have enough. There's people in our world that don't have enough. And we can make it possible that all will have enough. See, the Israelites learned this lesson. When they had made it through the desert, and this is far, far out in the future for them, they had come into the promised land. They had endured all the hardships and all the battles and everything that came later. They had lived there a long time, and then they remembered. These words are from Deuteronomy 24, renewing the covenant. King Hezekiah saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. And here are the words. It says, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. And when you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. So in this story of manna, whatever it was, bug goo, dust, flour, bread from heaven, I think that we can learn that God has provided and God will provide, and we can learn that God calls us as we are provided to help provide for those who don't have enough. And maybe today God is tugging at your heart because God wants you to trust that God can provide what you need, whatever that is. And maybe today God is tugging at your heart because God wants you to let go of your stuff and know that God will provide even as anyone lets go. Maybe today God is tugging at your heart because God wants you to give time, money, self,
and to trust that God provides enough.
And I don't know exactly what it is. I don't even know for sure that you feel a tugging at your hearts. I hope God is tugging at all of our hearts. I believe that God is tugging at our hearts and calling us to respond. You see, there is something that God calls us as a congregation. There is something that God calls us as individuals to do. We get to listen to this still speaking God as we ask the question, what is it? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for providing enough. Help us to reach out to a world with your love, with your care, to reach out to share the good news of Jesus with all. Amen.